All right, Dave Spano, happy Monday to you. Thanks for joining us. And how's your coffee this morning?
We have a little coffee maker here at the office, old school.
So, all right. You
know, but I certainly like listening to the squeeze. That's
yes.
Got to be 40 years old, Jeff.
I know.
On.
Well, you know,
I love it.
You got to find the song that's relevant. I love it too.
And unfortunately, I remember when it came out.
So. All right. Well, just as part of my two-up, I was looking at that Wisconsin Policy Forum report. And as you work with your clients, what are you hearing about Wisconsin's economy? Obviously, kind of our population's aging a bit. There's lower birth rates, maybe a little weaker net migration figures have resented. It kind of resulted in this shrinking working age population. How does that affect our state's ability to kind of grow our base?
Well, you have to think about, you know, where we stand as a manufacturing society and state. So, you know, about 15% of our population is in manufacturing, the workforce population. And that's probably twice the size of the United States. I think that's about 8. So pretty close to twice the size is in manufacturing. But you did mention the fact that we're having a shrinking working age population. And the fact is, there is positive net migration in the country. And 32 of the 50 states have had that. Wisconsin's not one of those, but there's a lot of things that you have to think about when you think, why is that happening? One of them is, you know, what's the job environment? What's the climate? You can't change the climate, right? So
right.
We are who we are, and you know, obviously states like Texas and Florida are having net migration, but the other things you have to think about is, what's the tax policy? What are the public services like? What's crime like? What are the cultural climate? You know, if you're, you know, want to go to a red state or a blue state, I mean, what does that go into your decision-making process? So, you know, if you think about the biggest predictor of where people go, it is really where you were born. That was generally always the way it was.
Yeah.
But before that, Jeff, it was where the jobs were, right? And you can go all the way back to, you know, European migration for the last 150 years. They came to a certain spot because they had someone there. There was a job opportunity. And that's no different than what is happening now on the southern border. Some are looking for asylum, but some are looking for a better opportunity. This is a better opportunity both for crime, for economics, and the rest. And so people are coming here because Wisconsin and the United States has always been an opportunity economy.
Yeah, without a doubt. For sure. So as you look at, obviously, the chances of the Fed kind of kicking off its easing campaign with a half point cut have picked way back up. What's your prediction for Wednesday?
Yeah, it's about 50-50 right now.
Right.
25 basis points is very, you know, obviously, the fact that we're going to get 25 basis points is always already cooked in. But does it get to 50? Betting odds have it about 50-50 right now. But if it does, there's a lot that's going to go into that, Jeff, and one is going to be, is the Fed being politicized? And that is always going to be the conversation. If it's 50 points, because they're not going to meet again until after the election.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they do 50 basis points now, is it political or is it a sign that the economy is weaker than we think, and that perhaps there's some economists, about a third of them, who say we are at the precipice of a recession and not a soft landing? So how the market reacts to that will be very dependent upon not really what the cut is, but what the Fed says, what is their messaging that comes out of that meeting?
Yeah, and chances are we won't know that until 6 months, 12 months,
right.
18 months
right.
down the road. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and so we'll look to see what Powell says after the meeting. And, you know, will he talk about, yes, inflation has come down, but the job markets are really slowing down, and that's going to be a cause for concern.
All right, very good. Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins us. When we come back, we'll talk about, you know, the new tools around saving for college. And what if my college fund is full, but my son gets a scholarship? What can I do with that money? This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank.
That's money.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, obviously, school's back in session, and those of us with juniors and seniors in high school, even grandpas, grandmas, looking to plan for next steps. Obviously, been planning for a while, but As you work with clients, what are your general save for college tips?
Well, the easy one for sure is get your homework done, so perhaps you might get a scholarship, right? So
right.
That's the easiest one for sure. But number two is obviously the 529 plan is an excellent opportunity, and it's a way to save. And a lot of people are doing it. Our clients are doing it. And, you know, I personally did it, and, you know, we saved a lot of money. In fact, I did a really good job saving for my daughter's education. Mm. And when she spent a year in London, you know, one of the things I found out is even though you can save really a lot of money, what you can't do is take money out of the 529 to send your wife to London three times, you know, because that is not one of those things that you can do.
That's not covered. No.
That's not
okay,
no.
Well.
But yeah, 529 plans are obviously really good, and we're going to see some new rules as well.
Yeah.
In 20.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, let's say that, you know, someone's been saving in 529 for years, and you get a scholarship, or you go to a different school that's not as expensive. What can you do with that leftover money? Can you roll it over?
Yeah. Well, one of the first things you would do is, what kind of car do you drive, Jeff?
We have a RAV4. We have a Nissan Rogue, right. I'm sorry. And then I have a BMW i3, so.
All right, so yes. We won't put that on the BMW, but we'll put this on the RAV4. is a bumper sticker that says, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. Have you seen those bumper stickers? That's the first
thing. Yes, okay, all right.
All right, no, but seriously, what you can do, the new, starting in 2024, it's called Secure 2.0 Act. If you folks are interested in that, just go ahead and take a look at it, Google it, call us, but there is an opportunity to roll that money over now, which is pretty cool. So if you don't use it for whatever reason, you can roll it over. What has happened in the past is if kid one doesn't use it, kid two could get it.
And is that still available?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can do that. Send it to one of the other children or send it to a niece or nephew, or now you can roll it over for your own benefit as well.
Okay, very good. So as you're talking with clients, you know, how are parents and families kind of analyzing that ROI of college choice today? Is it different than it was several years ago?
Well, you know, so the return on investment is an interesting question because I think it's slightly different. You have to think about what school you're going, how much you're paying, and what the kid is taking, right? So, you know, some schools have, and there's ROI studies that are out there, but, you know, the Ivy League schools have good ROI measurement, and you know, state schools, University of Wisconsin, Marquette, have good ROI. And then you think about schools like for perhaps, you know, Whitewater, which a lot of folks go out and get jobs. So the return on investment is there. There's no question. There's lots of studies that the lifetime earnings of a college degree outweigh the cost. But it really depends on a lot of circumstances. Where did you go to school? What did you study? So if you study basket weaving, you know, maybe that you're not going to get, you know, a job in that, but perhaps business administration, medical, law, those type of things, then you see the ROI come back. So you have to look at it and what you're taking, kind of grades you're getting, and experience that you get. If you go just to fool around at school and drink and play poker, you're probably not going to get the same out than someone who's really putting all efforts in.
To your point earlier, do your homework. Put in the work and you know, enjoy the experience and make the most of it. I mean, that's truly what higher education is all about. No matter where you're going, you're building that community for a lifetime.
No question about it.
That's the important thing. So what else are we seeing this week, and what else do we have to look forward to in the markets?
No, obviously the big story is Wednesday. Wednesday at 2 o'clock, we will go live after the announcement and see what Chairman Powell has to say. So obviously that's a really big story. We've been talking about it, as you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
The Bank of England and the Bank of Japan are Thursday and Friday of this week. And remember, we're talking about retail sales and industrial productions on Tuesday. So a lot of data. Obviously, we're in election season, so every little piece of data could perhaps move in the election.